The Full Circle Podcast on Hacker Public Radio. In this episode, Og Camp 11, Simon Phipps on Open Software. Hello world, and welcome to our show on Hacker Public Radio. This is the first of our highlights of last summer's unconference, Og Camp 11, held at Farnham Maltings in the south of England.
The Full Circle podcast is the companion to Full Circle magazine, the independent magazine for the Ubuntu community. Find us at fullcirclemagazine.org/podcast.
Simon Phipps presented the opening session of the unconference to a packed main hall, speaking on the topic of software freedom. A computer industry veteran, Simon came on with an actual box of hats, which he proceeded to change at high speed, reminding me of Tommy Cooper in his heyday. Simon has come up through hands-on roles as field engineer, programmer, and systems analyst, run a software publishing company, worked with OSI standards in the 80s, on the first commercial collaborative conferencing software in the 90s, and helped introduce both Java and XML to IBM. A founding director of the Open Mobile Alliance, Simon is currently Chief Strategy Officer at independent software company ForgeRock and director of the Open Source Initiative. Here's an edited version of his presentation.
We all wear many hats. We have hats that we wear for work, hats that we wear for home. You know, I tend to wear this hat because it keeps the rain off. When I'm trying to look respectable, I tend to wear this hat. Okay. And when I'm trying to look cool and geeky, I tend to wear this hat. Okay. And when I'm over in China helping them with the open source activities over there, I wear this one. Now, the truth is that they're all me. All of those different hats that I'm wearing. And I can't just isolate off one of them at a time. And so in this opening session, I figure you're going to get 2 days of uber geeky stuff with buttons to push and screens to look at and cool stuff to play with. And what I'd like to remind you is of the reason why open source happened in the first place. And I'd like to suggest to you that we are on a trajectory towards either freedom or riot. There have been lots of technology that was interesting to us all, but when the World Wide Web was invented and coalesced into something we wanted in our homes, when the technology transferred out of the lab and into the pocket, transferred out of the lab and into the home, when transferred out of the lab and into the heart of our lives, we were inevitably put on a collision course with the authority that had grown up during the 19th and 20th centuries. And although what happened in the UK over the last week was a load of thugs and idiots who were stealing stuff, and who I hope are going to enjoy the prison sentences, we're going to see a whole lot more of that, because what they were doing was they were pushing at a weakness that was being exposed in society. You see, the government's response to those riots is going to be to try to diminish your freedoms. Now, curiously, the example didn't happen in the UK this week. It actually happened in San Francisco. In San Francisco yesterday, the organization that runs the subway there, the BART service, decided that there was a risk that there was going to be a protest on one of their stations. About the outcome of a murder trial where a transit policeman had killed somebody and the transit policeman looked like he was getting away with it. And there was going to be a peaceful protest. BART decided that the risk of what happened in London happening in San Francisco was too great. And they shut down the cell phone service at the station. So you couldn't use your cell phone. Now, I don't know whether they were entitled to do that, Often, when we make rules and try and live only by the rules, people end up living at the margin. When you're able to live by principles and by an internal compass, you live in a place that satisfies the needs of your internal moral compass. But when you live by rules, what happens is you get pushed out to the edge of the rules, and you live only on the edge of the rules. So that's why big corporations think it's okay to do unethical things to make money. They do so because the rules say, they claim they say, that they've got to do it for their shareholders. Think of the children. So when you make rules, you push people to the edge of society and to the edge of the rules. And that's what we're going to see happening more and more. We're going to see people being pushed to the edge of the rules. And the thing is, in this world, Lawrence Lessig pointed out that code is law. Actually, what the law says doesn't matter very much on the ground. It doesn't matter whether the BART police in San Francisco were actually allowed to turn off the cell phone network. It turns out there was a switch on the wall that said cell phone network, and they turned it off, and the cell phone was off. And that was the law on the ground at the time. And the thing is that we're moving from a society where the people who could set the law were people in London, in posh offices, to a society where the people who make the law are people who wear black t-shirts. So the truth is that because of the things we're interested in, because we're interested in cool tablets, and we're interested in Linux, and we're interested in web-hosted services, and we're interested in syndicated software, and we're interested in digital music, and interested in digital video. Because we're interested in those things, we are going to become the people who hold the law in our hands. And this is the reason why I've been telling people for quite some time now that what really matters in their world is going to be software freedom. Software freedom really matters. It doesn't matter simply because you're going to be some kind of a radical agitator. It matters because in matters of technology, the principles of software freedom are your compass. But actually, software freedom is a set of principles. And you can tell when you're sticking with the principles. You might remember this photograph. I took this photograph in Battery Park in New York. And you can see that great symbol of liberty, the Statue of Liberty, standing visible for everyone to see, and in the background you can see the dock cranes of New Jersey adopting the same posture. And we can tell the difference. We can tell this is about liberty and this is about commerce. Now maybe you don't think open core is a problem. Open core is where a company takes free software and they pack a load of stuff around it which isn't free and sell you that. And they tell you that because in the middle there's software freedom that they enjoy, therefore, you should buy the thing on the outside which doesn't have software freedom. That's open core. And we're also threatened by cloud. Cloud is a threat to your software freedom. And it's a really big challenge, actually, working out what it means for software freedom to happen in cloud computing. We're stuck with cloud computing. I already got taken to hail by it today. And we are all going to live with cloud computing, no matter how hard it gets denounced by whosoever wants to in the computing industry. And we have to work out how to map freedom into the cloud. So what I mean by freedom, well, the four freedoms, this is my paraphrase of the four freedoms. The four freedoms are the freedom to use software for any purpose, the freedom to study the source code so you know how it works, the freedom to modify it so it does what you want, and the freedom to distribute it so that your friends, colleagues, customers, and more can do the same things you can do. That's software freedom. And the idea of software freedom is that anything that abridges those rights is wrong. It's the freedom to succeed or to fail early because you're not burdened down with justifying the budget. If you're using open source software, you can afford to fail earlier. And that means you can get to the point where you succeed early, because you know that nothing works until you've tried it three times. So I'd like to suggest to you that software freedom in business is important, because everything that you value about open source software is the first derivative of software freedom. Now, what's diagnostic about protecting software freedom? Well, what's diagnostic is who ends up with the software freedom. You see, people talk about software freedom and open source in business software, but you've got to ask yourself, who is enjoying those freedoms? If your supplier is enjoying those freedoms, well, that's fantastic. I'm pleased your supplier is enjoying those freedoms, and I would fight for their right to do so. But you're not going to get any of these benefits that I've just told you about. You're not going to get the freedom to use the software for any purpose without having to worry about licensing terms. Your supplier is. You're not going to have continuity in a market that changes. Your supplier is. So it matters who has the software freedom, and that's the diagnostic. When you see open source mentioned, when you see free software mentioned, ask who ends up with the software freedom. I'd suggest to you that open source software is no more risky than any other kind of licensing, usually less risky, and in some very important ways, it comes with great benefits. The first one is that that freedom to use the software for any purpose means that in your business, as long as you're not distributing the software outside your business, there is no need for you to count how many copies you're using and do license audit. Software asset management is not something you have to do with open source software. Something you have to do if you're distributing it outside your company, but you do that anyway if you're distributing software because you've got to manage the outputs of all the libraries of software that you're bringing into the company anyway. And open source is just one more kind of software you're consuming. And I'd like to suggest to you that that's a massive benefit. The fact that if you use open source software in your business, you have reduced your cost of managing your software infrastructure. I'd like to suggest to you that we got trapped by the gratis meaning of free. I'd like to suggest to you that that English meaning of free, that free where you all cheer when the guys from OgCamp tell you there's free beer tonight. There is free beer tonight, isn't there?
Yes.
When they tell you there's free, you see, you immediately cheer. Whereas when they tell you that your software freedom has been preserved, you go, Because you see, that free, that not paying word, is really interesting to us. Whereas that liberty word, well, you don't need liberty until somebody tries to take it away. And by the time someone challenges your liberty, it's too late to protect it. The time that you need to protect your rights is when you don't need them. And I'd suggest to you that what really matters is not the cost-cutting history of free software and the focus on price. I'd suggest that if we didn't know better, we'd pay extra for open source software. Because it has something that proprietary software just doesn't have. It comes with freedom inside. And so I'm calling on you here at OgCamp this weekend to remember every time you see something to ask, well, where's the freedom in this? So all the time you're going through here, I'm asking you, every presenter, focus on freedom and ask them what they're doing with the software or the technology they're working with to protect your freedoms. Now, we're all drawing that line somewhere in our lives at the moment. I know very, very few people who are able to stand and explain honestly that absolutely everything in their life has got free software in it all the way down to the ground. Everyone is compromising somewhere. And so the message to you for OgCamp is not get to be a radical that destroys the practicality of life in pursuit of freedom, but rather be conscious. Be conscious of your freedoms. So be aware of where your freedoms are, because being aware of your freedoms is the key to liberty. Now, I'd like to suggest to you that this could be the most important thing that you do, because as we move forward in society, you're going to discover that it's those liberties that allow you to operate in society that is getting increasingly worried about technology. What's the point of having some sort of open data transparency directive across Europe if all of the files are in a format you have to buy a reader from Microsoft to read? What is the point of being able to use any software you want if the computers you can buy are all locked down by software patents and design patents? Who wants a world where Android is strong but it's been barred from all markets by somebody with a specious patent or design claim? And this is a world that's coming, and the only people who are going to be able to organise protest against it are you. Because the other folks who organise protest about technology are there to steal TVs. So, I don't know how you feel about this message. the message that I've got to give to you is that software freedom is the key to what we're doing with computers and technology at the moment. We have to reinterpret it for the current era, but the world is changing and we've got to adapt to it because we are the new policy makers. We are the new legislators because the technology that we work on is the point where, in practical terms, people day-to-day experience law. We are the people who are programming BlackBerry's secure messaging service. We are the people who understand why it's a crazy idea to try and control and ban people from using social media. For goodness sake, has the man never worked out what social media is? Is no one advising anyone in the Conservative government at the moment? We are the people who are going to be able to comment on that. You are the people who are going to be able to comment on that. So please, pay attention, people. We need you. Our freedoms depend on you. Thank you very much.
That was Simon Phipps' presentation on software freedom from OgCamp 11. OgCamp is a joint venture organised by those lovely podcasters, the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. With more highlights of the OgCamp Unconference coming up on the Full Circle podcast very soon, including Karen Sandler and the OgCamp panel discussion. For now, I'm Robin Catlin. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.